WM Innovation Park LLC requesting an amendment to the real property purchase agreement for county-owned land located in the northeast quadrant of the county grounds in the city of Wauwatosa. This item is also going before the Committee on Finance and Audit.
Very good. Mr. Dillman?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The purchase agreement between Milwaukee County and UWM Real Estate Foundation, LLC, when originally put together, envisioned that there would be several items that needed to be satisfied before the reality of Innovation Park could be realized. And those are deemed to be contingencies or conditions within the purchase agreement, and they comprise things such as being able to receive an appropriate approved plan by the city of Wauwatosa for the site, the actual rezoning of the site for the proposed Innovation Park, the appropriate land division differentiation of the actual site by means of a certified survey map. There are also, during that process, formation of partnerships were looking to be solidified between, for example, the city of Wauwatosa relative to a tax incremental district and, as you heard just previously, with the federal government relative to the EDA grant. So over the course of the life of the purchase agreement, there were many hurdles to be cleared. Over that period of time, all hurdles were cleared. And in turn, the purchase agreement called for by December 15th of 2010 that the UWM Foundation would indicate to Milwaukee County that they have either satisfied or waived all those various conditions or contingencies, and that they were prepared to move ahead toward closing the transaction. The December 15th letter, which you have a part of your packet, reinforces the fact that they have, in fact, waived those conditions and that they have pledged the additional $175,000, which is earnest money deposit that has now been deposited with the title company with the existing $25,000, and that is to reinforce their commitment relative to moving toward closing on this transaction. As you noticed, there was a request along with that commitment to close that in turn they as a group were a little concerned relative to the timeline of the future payments. The existing contract calls for a payment plan whereby $5 million would be received by the county at closing, and then 1 year from the anniversary of closing, an additional $5 million, and then 4 years annually, there would be an amount that in turn would make up the full $13.55 million purchase price. That timeline was envisioned to terminate or be completed in 2016. The request that you have before you is an extension for 24 months to those payments after closing. So in other words, what they're saying is that we will close, I'm speaking from their perspective, we will pay Milwaukee County the $5 million at closing. However, we would like the subsequent payments, including the second $5 million, and then those four annual payments, to be pushed off by 24 months. So in essence, that timeline would go from at the maximum of 2016 being the outside to 2018. Now, we understood as staff that that presents a challenge to Milwaukee County. Although we've always envisioned or characterized this as a partnership whereby the county is the holder of the land and offers that up for fair market value acquisition, we have the city of Wauwatosa and we have the federal government. So in turn, we viewed this as a partnership, and we recognized the fact that the economic environment today for raising funds is rather tenuous. So in turn, that extension, although it presents a fiscal challenge in Milwaukee County, we understood that and at least recognized it as being a reality. What we did do as a part of the further discussions and negotiations with UWM was the idea that we have to try to find a way to mitigate that second $5 million diminishment. So what we worked out together was that Milwaukee County would realize 75% of the gross sale proceeds of lands that were sold within Innovation Park by UWM. And those payments would actually be applied to the back end. So in other words, For example, they are currently marketing the Eschweiler complex for the residential development that the board approved. And in turn, should that close in 2011, which they envision it will, the payments for that would be realized in 2011, but actually would shorten the timeline of this 24-month extension. So conceivably, with that sale and realizing that money and applying it to the back-end payments, we might be back to the same schedule that we are today. In addition to that, we said we would certainly want to have any additional donations that were pledged for the acquisition of the Innovation Park land to come to Milwaukee County. And in turn, they agreed that those donations that are realized by UWM in excess of $1.8 million would flow to Milwaukee County within 30 days. So although there still is a fiscal element of 2011, our hope is that we've done the best that we can within reason to try to infill that diminishment and try to get monies into the county coffers in 2011. So in turn, with that being said, staff is recommending this extension, and as you can see under the recommendations, that in turn it calls for a closing on February 15th of 2011 of $5 million, and then in turn the future payments would be extended by 24 months, so the second $5 million payment would come at the outside of 2014, and then those four payments thereafter would be annual and would go out to 2018. We are recommending that 75% of gross proceeds come in our direction and that they do be applied toward the inverse order of the payments so that it in essence shortens the period. We also recommend that in turn those donations in excess of $1.8 million flow to Milwaukee County within 30 days. And we understand that when they close and they pledge the $5 million, that in turn Milwaukee County, pursuant to the original agreement, would release those land areas from the first mortgage that we will hold on the balance of those lands from not only those areas that they sell, but those areas that are required by the City of Milwaukee and utility companies relative to infrastructure installation. So again, I characterize this truly as a partnership. Each entity has pledged their contribution in the way that they see fit, and we as staff feel that this is an equitable arrangement and make that recommendation.
Very good. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Given that financing for projects has been very tenuous in the last two or three years, and even go back a little bit more than that, is the appraised value of the Eschweiler properties $1.8 million? What is the appraised value?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisor, I'm not aware of the valuation of the Eschweiler complex. UWM Real Estate Foundation is currently marketing that component of the development to the marketplace for its development. We are not a part of that transaction. However, we will realize the proceeds from it.
We'll realize the proceeds, but you have no sense, Mr. Dillman, as to what that potentially could be? That's my question.
Yes, I have a sense of conceivably what the market may be willing to bear. Typically, the number of units that are derived up there, it's usually a dollar amount per unit that a developer is prepared to pay. It's difficult to say as far as how much per unit they might offer. It could be anywhere from let's say $1.5 million to $2 million.
Okay, thank you. That's good to hear something. Thank you, Mr. Dillman. And with respect to our budget, the 2011 approved budget, I want to get some. And you mentioned that 75% of the proceeds that would be realized from such a sale would come to Milwaukee County. I'm a little uneasy with respect to the fact that a good amount of capital was committed to a number of capital projects, and I want to make sure that our budget does not completely skewed. I mean, land sales have been tenuous since I've been here as a county supervisor. And there have been some discussions as to whether land sales should even be part of the budget, that they should be treated in another way. So that's my principal concern with respect to how this would affect our approved capital budget for 2011. But I did want to get some sense as to what the appraised value of this wildland complex would be, since potentially 75% of those proceeds would be coming to Milwaukee County, which would make me feel much more at ease. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to state such.
Supervisor Johnson, did you want comment from anyone on?
If anyone wants to comment, if anyone wants to comment on this, then please come forward.
Is DOTS able to respond to the complication of
Ms. Bryant, our capital finance manager, come forward?
For background for others, the reference is to the fact that the 2011 capital budget relies on proceeds from the sale to finance some infrastructure projects.
Ms. Bryant, the fiscal note has, I believe, a listing of the projects that would be affected. I think my thinking is that there would be no room for any maneuvering if the 75% of the proceeds that Mr. Delman mentioned, if it did not come forward, then we basically could not go forward with those projects and would have to do some manipulation and maneuvering with respect to prioritizing what needs to be done, how it's to be done, whether it's 2011 or going into 2012.
Ms. Bryant.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, that is correct, Supervisor. You have a number of projects that have been budgeted with the second $5 million for 2011. All of those items were cash financed. They weren't eligible for bond financing. That's why the land sales was allocated to finance them. The bulk of it, as you'll see, is in the category that I'm looking from the fiscal note, item C, countywide infrastructure improvements. One of the key projects in there is also the cash for the O'Donnell parking structure improvements. There was a list, I don't know if that was handed out to you. I can make it available to you if you don't have it, that basically breaks that project out, and you'll see there's also inspections for the various infrastructure within the county. And then the other big ticket item would be the inventory and assessment item that basically would provide the assessment for the remaining county buildings that have not been assessed.
It would be about $1.1
million? Yes. It appears on the second page of the fiscal note.
Thank you, Ms. Bryant. Thank you very much for your testimony. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, I just wanted to make us aware of
things. Before you leave, Ms. Bryant, Supervisor Bruin has a question.
It's in fiscal note.
Just specifically before you leave on this, you said that the parking structure was in here. Is that under countywide infrastructure W0114, which is a $2.8 million? Okay, so that... Okay.
That amount is about 500 and something thousand, the cash component for that. There's other amounts that are in there. I can get you the detail if you don't have the list.
There's a list, just to give you the detail of what each of those, the amount of money from each and what that would do. Do you have any alternative, are there any alternative recommendations being considered by the administration that would go to the Finance Committee as to alternative financing for these, or is there a recommendation that they then don't occur?
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, at this point in time, we were just made aware of what was being proposed in terms of the second $5 million. The county would have to look at alternative financing and, you know, whether that would be contingency. I think before you do that, you want to prioritize,
right,
see for which items would have to occur, you know, whether O'Donnell or some other facility would be a higher priority. So I would imagine that would be the first thing that you do, because then you'll have to have some idea of the magnitude of your problem in terms of 2011 and what you have to come up with. In terms of alternative revenue, as you know, that's scarce to come by. The county does not have a lot of cash laying around. The first option, I would imagine, would have to be the contingency fund, but obviously, as you know, that often is used to help with the bottom line. So right now, we're made aware of it, and we're making you aware of it. My understanding is we still have to look to what other alternatives will be available.
Then, obviously, we're not the Finance Committee, but obviously some members are from the Finance Committee, as well as the rest of the board's obviously going to be very interested as well. I would request that the administration when this item comes to finance on Thursday, have a recommendation as to what the impacts, you know, or what the plan of action would be for either financing these through whether it's the contingency fund or some other mechanism, and where they would fall in a prioritization of how we move forward, because I think that's important for the board to understand, because the impact of this change is not just the 340 plus thousand that is there, it's also that the potential of all these projects. So at least I would want to know, you know, before board day, and I assume finance committee will want to know on Thursday, just how the administration in making this proposal is planning to deal with this pretty key piece.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, I just want to be clear. I mean, I have not met with the exec, nor is that not really my position to do that. I'm simply letting you know what I'm aware of. I just want to make sure that's clear. I'm in no way speaking for administration. However, having said that, when you have an issue with lack of cash, I think you're going to have to look at whether or not you're going to have to stop some projects, meaning the ones that are cash financed. And that's what I meant by the priority ranking. And you have to determine whether or not you're going to, until you find a resolution, if you're going to simply say, we're going to not do those projects for right now until we can come up with an alternative financing. It did come up, if I may say, Supervisor Thomas, at agenda setting, and that's when we provided the list of the cash items in the 2011 budget. But it's my understanding that there have been conversations with the exec's office. I just haven't been party to what the alternative would be.
And just to follow up, I understand your role and the roles, but you're the two administration representatives are here on this item. And just so we're really clear, I support this project, I support the extension, but I, as an individual board member, before I vote finally on this option on board day, and I prefaced it for Thursday's Finance Committee because I assume they will want to know, I want to know what the administration plans to do with alternative financing for these projects, or whether or not they think that some of them would have to be removed from the 2011 budget. And I think when you've got a $5 million potential impact that actually could impact even more, then that's the bottom line of a responsibility the administration needs to provide. So you're the folks that are here, so whether it's Mr. Dillman who spearheads speaking with the county executive and the other fiscal staff, or whether it's you, I just would hope that you all work that out, because I think it's important.
Mr. Chairman, Supervisors, we will relay that back.
Thank you.
Very good. Supervisor Weishan and then Supervisor Dmitrievich has joined us as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A point to my colleagues that I think that what we should be looking at here is whether or not, just like any entity, that it merits a change. The Real Estate Foundation and the county got together and, going on literally years now, mutually agreed upon this payment schedule. And we used that as a foundation then to build our budget, not only for 2010, but for 2011 and beyond. And like any business arrangement, if one side can't fulfill their side of the bargain, there has to be a good faith reason why they can't fulfill it, that we should then make adjustments. And in fact, I would ask for UWM to explain why they haven't just gone to the bank, got the money, and made the payment. They have a board of directors. Those people, I guess they could just go to the bank, sign a note, and say, yeah, if the Real Estate Foundation can't come up with the money, they'll make good on it. I'd like to see what steps they've done on their end to come up with the money before we go and have to make the sacrifices that we're going to have to make by making the adjustment in the payment schedule. The fact is, this has greater ramifications, as you pointed out, with the Zoo Master Plan. The Zoological Society needs that so they can do their fundraising for the zoo. And that could turn out, so this isn't, this is a multi-million dollar adjustment that's going to have multi-million dollar ripple effect throughout the system. So I would like, you know, instead of grilling our department, you know, people here, I'd like to know from UWM what justifications, you know, that they're going to make that we need to make this adjustment in the payment schedule. Because this was not something we forced on upon them. This was a mutually agreed upon payment schedule. They want to change it. I would suggest that they need to come and explain to me why it needs to be changed.
Okay, Supervisor Weston. The item is noticed for closed session if we do get into areas that can't be discussed in open, but I would like as much discussion as possible to occur in open session.
Could it, okay,
so
then
if the foundation, I don't know if the foundation has any response at this time or.
Mr. Gilman, could you just then explain item number 7 of it's the provide that all philanthropic funds in excess of $1.8 million, why we would make that exception as far as, you know, somebody donates to the project, why wouldn't we ask for that money right up front? $1.8 million seems to be a quite large number that would get everything after that.
Mr. Chairman, I can speak in a cursory way to it. I would ask that UWM would speak specifically to it. But my understanding is that, as you mentioned, Supervisor, they were exploring other means of fulfilling the first $5 million. In other words, committing to close, providing us the first $5 million, and in turn, apparently they had to reach out to other sources to achieve the $1.8 million. And in turn, what they're saying by this is that they would look for those initial donations to satisfy or to fulfill that prior to the donations coming in our direction. But that's my general understanding of it, and I would ask that they would speak specifically to it.
Thank you.
Did the foundation join us? Representatives of the UWM. Again, also by Mr. Bruce Black, Mr. Jake Gilbert.
Yeah, I'd just like to start. I'm Interim Chancellor Mike Lovell, and I'd first like to thank the county and this particular committee for all the support that you've given UWM on many areas, specifically on this project and over the past several years. I'd like to say that I want to say that UWM is very committed to the long-term success of this project, and we really look at the county in the city of Alatosa as our partners going forward. And we certainly, with any partnership, you know, things change, and we look to try to be more flexible, and we're hoping as partners you will help us with that flexibility. And I think it's important to understand that I came here 2.5 years ago from Pittsburgh really because I saw that the potential that the county grounds had to transform the economy of this region. And the vision for what we're trying to create is what we're calling a third-generation research park. And in this type of research park, we would have universities, industries, government entities co-located in the same buildings. It's different than first-generation research park, which is they did Research Triangle, North Carolina, second-generation, which they have Madison, where university and industry buildings are on the same site but don't co-locate. And so since I've been here and even up to the last week or so, I am still personally working with entities like Children's Hospital, MedCollege Wisconsin, Fradert, a number of regional industries, government agencies, both federal and state level, to get partnerships so we can collect here. And I can just tell you, there's a lot of traction. There's tremendous interest in moving out to this land from all of those entities. And so I'm not going to talk specifically. I'm going to turn it over to Bruce Block and Dave Gilbert to answer specific questions, particularly with Supervisor Weisman has brought up. But I will just say that this is a very, very important project that can transform Milwaukee.
Very good. Thank you. And I'm sorry to have referred to you as the dean when you're at the interim chancellor.
That's okay.
Now
it's fine.
I knew that, but
fine.
We call him the acting chancellor because he's always on the move. Craig did a good job, I think, of describing the elements of what we put on the table and how we got there. If we go back, what's embedded in your purchase contract and what's been the understanding from the beginning of time on this project is that this asset is being acquired by a single member entity called UWM Innovation Park LLC. This was always going to be a standalone, single-purpose acquisition by an entity that was raising the funds independently on its own for this particular project. And thus, this project was always negotiated with the county as something that Innovation Park, your UWM Innovation Park, would have to raise the funds for. This was not a UWM Foundation financial obligation, nor was it a UWM Real Estate Foundation obligation. This was an obligation of a new entity to make this thing work. We don't have the unrestricted funds available in the UWM Foundation to put towards this asset. During the course of negotiations, Craig was successful in getting a limited guarantee from the Real Estate Foundation, which puts about $1 million of their assets behind this. That is the maximum amount of money that's available to put behind this from outside, from internal UWM Foundation sources. So our task for the last 3 years has really been to raise the funds on our own to make this deal work. And we have kept everybody informed throughout this process of our status and where we were throughout. And as you know, we were in the last, I think, 8 months have been through a couple of extensions in regard to raising those funds. The reasons we've come back for extensions, to some degree related to the process we went through in Wauwatosa, which took a little longer but actually went pretty well out there. But the fact of the matter is our biggest issues were raising the dollars. When we approached December 15, we had a tough decision because while we felt we could scrape and put together $5 million for the closing, and we knew how important it was for the budget that the county had put together because you were relying upon those dollars, and I want to put a footnote there, notwithstanding the fact that our contract always had contingencies in it. And it's possible that we would not have been able to move forward. It's possible we would have failed in our contingencies in Wauwatosa, in which case this contract would have died and you'd be facing the same problem you have today, only it would be for this calendar year, not the next calendar year. We felt it was incredibly important in working in partnership with the county to try to figure out a way to close this deal for this year. But at the same time, we did not want to put ourselves in a position where in 12 months from now, we were going to be in a default situation because you're taking a mortgage back for the installment. And we did not feel it was in good faith to work with the county saying we're going to close this year and you're going to get a note that says we pay you $5 million a year from now and then we come back 11 months from now and say we can't make it. This discussion you had just a few minutes ago about trying to fill this gap is something that is better to have now than it is 11 months from now. Mm-hmm. So we felt in good faith and in partnership with the county, we wanted to say we want to close this thing for all the reasons that the interim chancellor just said. It's incredibly important to us that we close this thing. So the question is, what can we do to figure out how to get your $5 million today and get as much money to you as possible without putting ourselves in a position where we'd committed to come up with $5 million 12 months from now when we know how hard it has been to raise the first $5 million. So that's how we kind of worked out what's in front of you now. And I'm going to hopscotch a little bit, but we really have been trying hard to figure out the best way to get you guys your money as fast as you can. Because from our perspective, we want to get you paid off too. I mean, we don't want the debt on the books. We want to get going on this thing. And we've concluded that the best way to accelerate everything that can happen out there is to close, get the infrastructure started out there with Wauwatosa, get the accelerator building moving, and get the Eschweiler parcel sold and underway. That once those things start to happen, we'll see some action. This will no longer be a theory. It'll be a reality. And we think things can get moving. As Supervisor Weishon mentioned before, it looks like if Eaton goes out to the research park, that could pretty well fill it up. I think Bill Drew mentioned in the paper over the last couple of days that with Eaton, that starts to almost fill up the research park. That will create, I think, other opportunities for us out there and for our mutual benefits. With respect to the Eschweiler parcel, Supervisor Johnson, I just want you to know we are in the midst of an RFP process now with 12 developers that we submitted applications for. The returns are coming back now. I cannot get specific on dollars at all because it would frustrate that process. But and it's all conditioned upon, obviously, things working out and approvals in Wauwatosa and so forth. But I will say that if things work out as we think they can work out, the numbers that were given to you by Craig Dillman earlier are on the low side. It's our expectation that the number that you would realize would be more than what was stated. Again, I have to condition that on. There's Wauwatosa that has a lot of say on that and so forth. But that is the type of momentum that we feel is available out there. The $1.8 million, to answer your question specifically, Supervisor Weishon, is, as Craig said, in order to get to that $5 million, we had to accelerate some activities internally, and in fact, we are advancing funds from sources that we have. We're going to need to repay those funds, and so the first $1.8 million that we raised in philanthropy is going to pay off some of the money that we've had to advance internally. We can't go to a bank on this. No bank will lend money on vacant land right now, without, except on a maybe at best a 50% loan-to-value ratio with huge guarantees on top of that. We're not in a position to do that, so we can't take you out. The reason that we ended up with the contract that we have with these installment payments and with a mortgage is because there was a recognition of that fact on the part of the county when we were negotiating this price. This is a retail price for this land. There is no doubt about it, particularly now post-2008. Vacant land is A, not financeable, and B, nobody's buying it right now for future development holds because you can't do it. I mean, land values are not increasing, they are decreasing. We haven't changed the price on this land. We're fine with the price on this land, and we had plenty of opportunities to think about saying, let's talk about different terms on the land. We don't want to change that. That's the deal we cut. The problem we have is the timing on this. And the fact of the matter is, if we're lucky, if we in fact can raise the funds faster than we think and faster at a rate faster than we've accomplished over the last 2 years because of the momentum, you'll be the beneficiary of that, we'll be the beneficiary of that. There's nothing in here that's going to stop us from trying to raise money as fast as we possibly can. What my board did not want to do was to close on this land and then in 12 months be in a default situation. That is just not prudent. It's not acting like a fiduciary for the resources that we have raised from private sources, and it's not fair to you. I mean, if this creates fiscal problems because of your uncertainty on that, then let's get it on the table now. And if you don't want to provide us the extension, we understand that. And we'll have to make a decision on our end whether we're comfortable going forward. But recognize that if you don't grant the extension, that doesn't mean that the problem that was just enunciated is going to be solved. That problem is solved only if we can get you money in the next in the next 12 months, which we're going to try to do. I just can't guarantee you that you're going to have it. So that's kind of a long-winded explanation, and I kind of hopped around, but I'm happy to respond to any questions. Well, this whole effort, this whole exercise is to try to tell you exactly where we are so that there are no surprises. We'd rather overperform in terms of the funding that goes to you and do better than we've anticipated in this schedule than to be in the opposite situation.
There are other questions? Otherwise, Supervisor Dmitrievic, did you have a question?
Well, I do, but not for the UW gentleman.
Oh, okay.
I have it for staff.
Oh, okay. Is it for kind of board staff, for Mr. Dillman, or?
Well, actually, I think it's for the Department of Administrative Services.
Okay. Any other questions
Well, let me add one more other thing. There is a provision here that talks about releasing about a two-acre parcel for the accelerator building. The EDA grant requirements state that they have to have a first lien on their property. So when they provide the $5.4 million for that building, they need to have that free and clear parcel. So what we're asking for is that your mortgage cover everything except 2 acres when we give you the $5 million. That's the genesis for that request.
Okay. Supervisor Schmidt. Coming up, perhaps you can share a mic.
I guess I just look at the difficulties of this whole transaction and what has transpired over the last, I mean, we don't have to go into that, the last 4 or 5 years, and I know what's been financed at any level. I think, I guess, Zilber stuff a little bit, and that was all Mr. Zilber's money. It's been extremely difficult, as we all know, in these situations. Also, you know, about the price and what we've talked about, $13 million is a terrific price for this property. As was pointed out, this property has no infrastructure whatsoever. This is land that doesn't have any value like the Research Park does, which has the infrastructure, which has the TIF, which has all the stuff going for it. Eaton will be paying $150,000 an acre. Now, what UWM is paying for the large acreage is over $157,000. That is land that is not developed, has all these contingencies, needed a TIF from the Wauwatosa. Wauwatosa is the one really sticking their neck out here. The county is in a very good position. The county is the one who's going to get these monies. If this deal goes through, and I'm a supporter of it, of course, after all I've seen the last 10 years, what's been going on here, this is a long, long journey with a lot of difficulties. And should not be surprising. This is a microcosm of what government and democracy is all about. I don't want to belabor, but let me take 1 minute on this because I've lived the history of this. You know about some history in your work with the community. Is that, do you realize DNR, Wisconsin Department of Transportation, MMSD, City of Wauwatosa, developers, preservationists, soccer moms, finding... I think you've got the idea here. And the county's been, we've had 5 major resolutions that I have sponsored that eventually have got us to this point. It's been a long, long road. I don't know whether a developer would have the ability to do what UWM has a chance to do. And it's not easy, and I defer to my colleagues, and there's good questions here. But the reason I feel so strong is some of these points. Again, if you look at what the payment is, they're paying for a lot that they're not even getting to use. We're talking about maybe 40 acres of development in this whole parcel. You want to do the math, put 40 acres of what they're really paying for into $13 million. That's a lot of money they're paying for. They are paying for the Parks Administration building, we're all quite aware of, over 3 acres there that they're not going to develop. That's in the middle of development. What other developer would do that? They came in without asking for infrastructure. Luckily, the cooperation with Wauwatosa, their payoff will be coming down the line. Our payoffs, the housing, they got the RFPs out on the street. Eschweiler Buildings, those complexes, some have talked about $6 million, their value there. That's probably high. I think the $1.5 million or $2 million is low. I've had conversations all the way through this with Mr. Drew and Mr. Mascari, who I greatly respect. I spent 10 years on that board. They've done a terrific job over there at the Research Park. Okay, but they appreciate the value of this land over here. They realize the hoops and the difficulty of what UWM is going through here. Also, there's 11 acres that we're going to have an amendment later on. The environmental, I mean, this has been an unbelievable area as far as environmental concerns are concerned. I don't know what other developer would have come in and be able to do this. Who's going to buy 80 acres when you can develop 40? And have to go through everything. And of necessity, this is a very important environmental corridor. That issue was up there 10 years ago. There's been an incredible amount of preservationists and environmentalists and who have been involved in this. And to our credit in the county, I think we can hang our heads very high. We've listened to all the different sides, all the different and diverse and different communities and organizations and state agencies. I've just mentioned those. And I don't want to belabor this, but this has been just an incredible act of democracy, and everybody has come together in these difficult times. So that's 11 acres of environmental concerns that they have committed to. It's 3-plus acres of the Parks Administration building they've committed to keeping. I know other developer would be going to these great lengths. And I guess they are, I think all of us are sincerely want to see economic development finally come to Milwaukee County in the great difficulties we have. I think the spinoffs from this are terrific. The land will only increase in value as we start this process. The incubator, there's $5.4 million. Let me emphasize again, the federal government has put into this project. Wauwatosa has made more than a significant involvement in this with their TIF. There's just so many things here that are of positive nature. We can look at the negativity and we can see, well, what project hasn't come before our board in this committee over the last few years that hasn't asked for an extension? You know, easier said than done, I understand that, but we know what the market has been. What credit has it been out there? There's not a bank going to give $13 million. I mean, you can't even get $300,000, much less $13 million. They've had to do this on their own. And just as a side point, I'm glad administration is here, because as a finance committee member, and we have finance committee members on this committee, I'm concerned about those monies too. But I would say that we kind of made our bet a little bit here. We've always said, and I've been a strong component of this too, that we don't base our budgets based on land sales. We know the history of the last 10 years in land sales. They've been abysmal. County executive put $6, $8 million in, and we're lucky we get $300,000. We knocked out, everyone knows, in finance. I certainly was behind this also. Our whole finance committee rightly didn't put any money from Crystal Ridge. This was an idea we were going to put in Crystal Ridge. Why do we put monies in our budget that we don't even have in hand? I voted against a number of these projects in the finance committee. It was usually 6-1, okay, because it used UWM money. It's interesting to me that people would talk about, you know, who were, you know, against the project from the very beginning, that and then talk about monies that we don't even have. And if we don't get these monies, then we're really in Dutch. So I think the administration, and I as a finance committee member, I will ask this too, they have to come up with some other ideas. It's, you know, we know the history of land sales and land deals. Then why did we budget? Why do we put monies in our budget relying upon these things when we know it's easier said than done to get these deals done? They never go as fast as we wanted. What deal has gone as fast as we hoped or wanted? I will say on a positive note, Lloyds of Money things, by the way, UWM has also put $175,000 more into the pot. That's $200,000 they do have down. They have in the contract here and said when the monies come in talking to Mr. Drew and Mr. Mascari again, I think the housing there will be well over $2 million. We get 75% when those monies comes in. We do, not TOSA. And any contributions come back in this 24-month span, we also have that 75%. So there is certainly a good possibility of getting some money. But you know what? Whether or not this deal is done, you know, and I certainly hope it will be after all we've been through and have seen happen. And I know, you know, it's a portion of UWM. There's a public nature to UWM here that we need to cooperate and do it. And, my Lord, we have a chance here for economic development. It's going to be slow. The market is slowly coming back, as we've seen. I just hope we don't lose this opportunity. Thank you.
Okay. I think we still have a couple questions of UWM Foundation. Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Could you tell us what financial institutions that you've dealt with to try and come up with the resources?
We haven't talked to any. We don't intend to. This deal was that the county was going to be our bank. That's how we got to this price. I can tell you from my experience, and I've worked in commercial real estate, there are no substantial bank loans being given for vacant land. And the fact of the matter is, if in order to do this, if we were to get a bank loan, we'd have to service the interest on it. And the deal on this project was, we're going to pay the retail price, but it's going to be installment payment, and the interest is embedded in the price. Those were the economics of the deal.
And as I said earlier, now you've decided not to fulfill that agreement, and you're asking me to change that agreement. And I would like to have a substantial reason why, because I get tons of people like you that constantly come before Milwaukee County government and tell us we have to act like a business. Now, if J.P. Morgan's not going to give you the bank the money, then why should I? Why should I rearrange a payment schedule here that is equal to about $350,000 in interest?
Well, I guess the question you have to ask yourself is, if you don't do it, what are the consequences? I mean, this is a contract that we had contingencies up through December 15. On December 15th, we could have told you, we're not going to close. So if you have somebody else you'd like to sell the property to, that is absolutely your prerogative. I would suggest to you that unless you're going to put a Walmart there, you're not going to get anywhere near this price. And I don't think a Walmart is likely to be there. But I don't mean to make light of what your question is. The fact is, we're facing an economic reality. And I cannot get you your purchase price as the way the original terms were, because I can't raise the money. Now, I might be able to, but I can't tell you in good conscience that I'm going to be able to do that. So my choice is come back to you, tell you where I am, and you guys decide whether you like it or not. I'm not telling you you have to do this. I'm just telling you this is the economic realities of this transaction. But the fact of the matter is this property is not being marketed. Okay?
No.
We came to you to ask you, would you sell this property to us? This is not a competitive situation where you have foregone economic opportunities. Now, the fact that the county decided to put into its budget these resources as receipts and then budget against that, it's not my fault. So, you know.
Well, one, just to follow up on that, the presentations that have been made literally over the years is that this is not some, you know, standalone company. It is constantly, you know, the university system has been brought up. You know, you have the interim chancellor here. The perception that has been put out there to the public is that this is, you know, a UW system endeavor, and that it is a critical component of economic development in the future of southeastern Wisconsin. Yet then we're told that the burden all has to be placed on Milwaukee Town.
I don't think the burden's on you at all, Supervisor. You don't have to sell this property. Okay? You did not come to us and say, please buy this property. We came to you. Therefore, the burden is upon us to raise the funds necessary to acquire it. If I can't acquire it, then it's your land, and if you'd like to market it and sell it to somebody else, you certainly may do that. With respect to your first point, I beg to differ. The contract has been very clear. We have been very clear all along who we are and who we represent. Now, this can be an economic generator. What we're doing is something that, unfortunately, redheaded stepchildren have to do. We're not Madison. UWM has not been treated as favorably as Madison, as the other institution in this state that is strong on research. We have to go out and get this land. Once we get this land, then UW System is going to step forward. Then we're going to have a building there. Then things are going to start to fall. But unfortunately, we are the pioneers that have to go out there and scrabble this thing to get together. We're going to get scalped. That's the way it goes. That's what the pioneers do. But we're going to make this thing happen. We're the guys that have to raise the money. We have never told you that UW System is buying this land. We've never told you that UWM is buying this land. Contract couldn't be clearer who's who. We've been clear who we represent every time we've walked in here. So I'm sorry, I disagree with your first point.
Now, once again, when I asked about different funding sources, have you talked since the former county executive, now the governor of the state of Wisconsin, was a supporter of this project? Have you had any contact with him and the financial responsibilities that the state would have under this?
We absolutely will be going to the governor. We have every reason to want to try to accelerate this funding. Trying to get something done at the state level takes time. We have got a contract that says we have to waive our contingencies by December 15 and then to provide you with $5 million on or before a certain date. That's what we're trying to do. We want to get you $5 million. What I would like to do over the next 3 years is figure out ways to get as much money on the table as fast as possible from whatever resources possible to pay you guys off.
So you haven't contacted the governor's office on
that? We've had discussions with the governor, but I will tell you he's got a few other things on his plate right now. And he's got a UW system that's got a budget that makes your guys pale in comparison. They've got all kinds of priorities. This is not going to take 30 days, 60 days, 90 days to work at the state level to figure out a way to make this thing function. But I guarantee you we're going to have those discussions.
Could that be it?
Thank you, Supervisor Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarity, I'm hearing in your voice that you really want to do this deal.
Yes, that's a fair statement.
Okay, that you are actively working to close this deal and create this facility out of the contract.
I would tell you, but for the public policy interest and the gentleman sitting me right next to me right now, there is no way that any prudent businessman would go forward on this deal. We are doing everything we can to make this work because we believe it's going to work.
Yes. And that's our answer.
Yes.
Thank you. Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Having heard what Mr. Block said about the RFP for the Eschweiler complex, having heard from Supervisor and also would be Alderman Schmidt over there with respect to his history as it relates to what's happened on the county grounds shortly before I came and afterwards. Mr. Chairman, I'm moving approval of the resolution. I move approval of the resolution.
Okay. Supervisor Jackson moving approval of the resolution. We have at least one amendment that's been circulated. Supervisor DeBrun.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I am going to go to the amendment in just a moment, but I do want to comment and ask a question of you about the financing piece of it. First of all, when you get in a setting like this, what we do is we tell you what we're worried about and what our concerns are. So, and kind of what's been lacking from this conversation is some of the positives from Milwaukee County's end to this agreement. And at least from my perspective, I think that part of the discussion, we haven't done as much from this side. I think this is one of the best or biggest economic development opportunities that Milwaukee County is going to be able to participate in the next 20 years. So I see the vision that the UWM has put forward on this. I agree with that as a vision. And my top goal as a member of the Economic Development Committee is to help spur economic development. So while I have these concerns about how we internally fix our budget, and while that, you know, people prioritize concerns differently, my number one concern with this project is recognizing that it's a major economic development opportunity, and I prioritize that first. So even though there's an impact on our budget, and we're going to have to deal with that internally, I will help with my colleagues in trying to do that. My bottom line is helping make this development come to fruition. So I strongly support this. I support the extension. It is an extension that's a little bit different than some of the extensions we've done in the past, because there's a two-year, you know, window where you really, other than land that you sell, you don't absolutely have to make a payment. So it is, I think that recognizes the economy, it recognizes the uniqueness, kind of the real estate role that you're in, a real estate management kind of role, versus that being the actual developer, other than the part that you're going to do. So I do support that. But I guess as people were talking about the payment mechanisms back, I think that the 75% of the proceeds from the sale of some of the property in the interim might help mitigate our own internal problem. I don't necessarily anticipate that all of a sudden you're going to come up with this $5 million, you know, 4 months from now. But when Milwaukee Public Museum had their financial difficulties, and it's not apples to apples, absolutely, they ended up being able to pay the county back on their loan at an accelerated pace that exceeded our agreement, because the world turned for them. They got additional things in. So the only, you know, comment I'd like to make about that piece of it is, should the whole world turn and all of a sudden this project start to accelerate, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't look, you know, for why you couldn't look at possibly trying to move those payments up. I'm not making that as an amendment to require that. I think there are provisions and protections in here. But I do note that the museum did it. It was a commitment of their board of directors. And if that works out in this case without destroying the viability of your project, I would request that consideration. The amendment that Supervisor Schmidt and I are offering, do you want to go to that now, Mr. Chairman, or no?
Well, I have one more comment from Supervisor Dmitrievich, who sort of deferred. And then I think that if we get into amendments that would be any changes to the deal, then we might consider a motion for a closed session, to the extent that that would be a negotiation that could properly occur there. Mr. Dorsey, after Supervisor Dmitrievich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. As I said, it's more directed towards staff. I guess I'm really concerned about what was talked about by Supervisor Johnson. I think in some way it hasn't been appropriately addressed. I don't know if it's going to be here or finance, but I can't see moving forward on this extension until we have some more concrete information on how we're going to deal with 2011's budget priorities. I mean, when Pam Bryant was sitting here, unless I heard something differently sitting in this role, it sounded like if we allow this extension, some of our projects, most specifically O'Donnell and our building inspections, which is a huge, important, we need the progress. I just sat in Transportation and Public Works and got a very disturbing audit on the status of our buildings. And that's not UW-Milwaukee's fault, but we as policymakers here adopted a budget, and I'm highly concerned about what will happen with those two things. And to just suggest, oh, well, there's a lack of cash financing, and then the contingency fund, which of course is a sensitive item for me, thank goodness we put that extra $1 million in the contingency fund, if that's what we're going to be looking at. And of course some people didn't support that either, and that's fine, hopefully they'll have a change of heart. But I'd like to have those things lined up before we proceed. I don't feel comfortable moving forward on this without knowing and just saying, let's see what happens with O'Donnell and our building inspections. Those are huge items that were a huge part of our 2011 budget. So, you know, I know I see the director of administrative services is here, and I think it's something it's on everybody. It's not just on the policymakers or the administration altogether. But I personally just wanted to be here and publicly state and that we need to exercise caution in how we proceed. And I personally think that it should be one before the other. And I think, you know, maybe that can happen before the board meeting, but it sure needs to, or at least for me to be comfortable to support something like this. And the last thing that I'd like to comment about, that I was sitting here, I felt very uncomfortable with the nature of some of this exchange here, because it almost felt like an ultimatum. And that's very uncomfortable. That's not a way to do a positive spirited negotiation. And I mean, I feel uncomfortable thinking that if I don't provide this extension, that this project will fall through. I mean, that's, you know, and if that's, obviously those are, that's the reality, but it's extremely uncomfortable considering that so many things are pending on this very project that we've been an awesome partner with as well. And likewise, I realize that UWM has done a lot of great things. The first one I think of is the Parks Administration Building. That was a very positive, good-spirited, you know, part of the initial agreement. So being what it is, and that it is basically an ultimatum, I mean, let me boil it all down, at least in my mind, is that it sounds like this project can't move forward without the extension. And if this project doesn't move forward, or actually if it moves forward with the extension, it's going to have some very negative effects on some projects that this county board prioritized that I would deem in at least my top five priorities in the budget. So I just wanted to voice that concern. And I assume a lot of it will be dealt with at finance, but I'm hoping that when it gets to me and the county board, those things will have been taken care of, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for allowing me to speak.
Very good. Thank you, Supervisor Michievic. Mr. Booker did join us after Ms. If you can join us, Mr. Booker. You walked in sort of after Ms. Bryant was on the hot seat and she tried to address the issues that are going to come before us, but she was not speaking on behalf of the administration in terms of what the plan is and anything you could, any light you could bring to that.
First of all, good morning, Charles Supervisor. This is a very difficult issue because, as those of us who've worked in economic development, no project ever goes smoothly. It's a process. Even the road projects that you all have approved never go exactly as planned. So it becomes an issue of what is prioritized and what do you do, what you don't do. The county exec does approve this. He supports it. He's going to be moving it forward for your consideration and for approval. We have to, on the back end, figure out how we can help make this project a reality. I think it's good for Milwaukee County. It's good for the city of Milwaukee. It creates jobs. You all know that. But our job on the back end is how do we make sure we reconcile this with where we are with Milwaukee County and the difficult financial position that Milwaukee County currently is in. But we have some avenues that a lot of banks don't have. And so as we start to formulate this approach and bring it to you for consideration, my goal is to make sure we can figure out a way to support this deal, make it work, get the project developed. I think it's good for Milwaukee. When I first heard about it, before I heard about who the principals were, I was like, wait a minute, we got to step back from this. But once I heard who the principals are, I think this is going to be good for Milwaukee County. Milwaukee County needs to be in these types of deals and more on the forefront as opposed to the back end, which is what I've been seeing historically. And John, you can speak to See, and I don't really want to get into the ramifications of what happens if we don't do the deal. Mm-hmm. My goal is to figure out a way to make the deal work in a way that makes sense for you, the board, to approve. But nothing's ever simple. And yes, there will be some ramifications if this deal does not go forward, and John can articulate that for you.
If you can, so the question, obviously, whether the deal, if the deal doesn't go forward or if the deal goes forward under the extension, the ramification for us financially is the same in that we have this problem with financing of our projects.
That's
so
correct.
To the extent we could address what options we think we're going to have there, I think that is the heart of the of what's been asked.
I apologize, I wasn't here for the earlier discussion, so if I'm repeating things that Ms. Bryant said, you know, I apologize. However, Mr. Chairman, you're absolutely correct. There's really two components here. There's the 2010 piece and the 2011 piece. The 2010 piece is probably more problematic because of approximately $3 million included in the land sale budget is in the operating budget. So if we do not close by the end of February, we will have an additional $3 million hole in the 2010 budget. As of the third quarter, we were projecting approximately a $4 to $5 million deficit. Since then, we'll be presenting at Finance on Thursday some recent developments that have been positive. However, we're still very, very close. And so, a $3 million deficit will be problematic, especially when you consider how the county's budgeting is forced to work by state statute, where you have to take the surplus deficit from the prior year and roll it into the next budget. So in the 2011 budget, we have a $4 million surplus from 2009. So really, in order to be made whole in the 2012 budget, our goal is not zero. Our goal is a $4.4 million surplus. We're right in between zero and a $4 million deficit right now. So a $3 million hole will be very problematic for 2010, and will likely ensure that we end the year in a deficit until, as you know, nothing's final until the books close, especially in Milwaukee County. But our best estimate right now is we're between zero and $4 million deficit. In terms of 2011, the county board, I think, was more prudent and used the funds for the capital budget. So there will be no hole in the operating budget under the terms of the extension. However, the $5 million, as Supervisor Dmitrievich explained, is for very important capital projects that are extremely vital to the county. Some of the facade improvements are included in that $5 million, including some of the O'Donnell repairs, as well as electronic medical records out of PhD, which is, I would say, equally as important as some of our facade improvements because it is a critical infrastructure need. However, as I sit here and hear the discussion, back in December when we first read about this in DAS, we immediately put a freeze on any spending on those projects because even, I think, regardless of whatever vote you take before you today, and again, I'm not speaking on the merits of the extension. What I'm hearing from the gentleman here is that that money is uncertain. Even no matter what you vote today. So we have already begun looking at alternatives to how we will finance those plans. We will not be able to put a plan in front of you yet because we're still exploring what those alternatives might be. Some of the challenges are one of the reasons these projects were using land sale money, cash, is because they're not bond eligible. So usually one of our first strategies when we have a situation in the capital budget is to rearrange the chairs on the deck a little bit and prioritize projects. We don't have that luxury under this situation because most, if not all, of these projects are bond ineligible. All of them are bond ineligible, so we have to find cash. So you then look at the operating budget, and as you know, given the labor uncertainty, we have problems in the operating budget that will probably require the contingency fund. So as Mr. Booker said, we're going to have to get creative on this one. I wish I could tell you that we had a plan in place, but we don't yet. We're looking at alternative plans, and as soon as we have something concrete, we'll provide you the information. But as of now, we're exploring our options, and this does present a challenge in the capital budget, but we'll work through it.
Thank you, Mr. Regini.
Thank you. And Mr. Booker and Mr. Regini, I can respect that you don't have that plan quite yet. Kind of being politically practical, I am concerned if we don't have something by board day, whether, you know, there's enough votes on the board to lay this over, which would really cause a problem because if you lay it over, you don't have your February closing and you lose that $3 million for 2010. Mm-hmm. So to the extent that you can get it sooner, the better, because I think there's been strong support for this project on the board. I don't know how, I haven't added up the votes for the extension, but you know, every time there's a serious extension like this, where, you know, as someone who backs the project, I'm a little worried about not that the opponents would have a majority, but whether they'd have enough to lay the item over. So I would hope you would take that into consideration. The other thing I wanted to just note and see your reaction to, the city of Wauwatosa put up a TIF for $12 million. The federal government put up $5.4 million. Waukee County isn't putting cash into this. Deal. We're selling the property, and I think a very favorable agreement. And land values could change. It's very favorable. We're not putting money, though, right into this project. So part of the way I've looked at some of these potential changes is Milwaukee County's potential contribution. And if that's part of how you're looking at it or how you're responding to pieces of this, I think it helps everybody conceptualize it. So as you go in, as you're we're looking at this in the future, I would hope that we would take that into consideration.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. If there are no other questions or comments, I'm sorry, Supervisor, Mr. Dorsey, I forgot to come back to you.
excuse me. I want to offer some great comments today about the project, and from an economic development standpoint, I think it's a fantastic project. I just want to make a statement. Mr. Chairman and committee members, on behalf of the county executive, I want to express the strong support for the Innovation Park project and the amendment we have before today. Not only because it has all the elements of being a catalytic project, it will stimulate the economy, build market momentum, will leverage locations, create value, and will attract additional investment capital, but also because this project will add considerable long-term value in terms of jobs, tax base, and potentially new businesses that will hopefully provide family supporting wages. But also expand the capacity of UWM to become a world-class research center, which has been talked about today, with the capacity to quickly move their ideas that they generate from the research center to the market. And hopefully from there we'll create new businesses that will create new jobs. This project will also strengthen the county's relationship with UWM, with the city of Wauwatosa, and with the private sector, which is one of, certainly should be one of the priorities of economic development in Milwaukee County. So on behalf of the county executive, I just want to respectfully request that this committee approve this amendment and for the Innovation Park, and I just want to say that.
Thank you, Mr. Dorsey. Supervisor, you have an amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Ash passed out while we were sitting here. The amendment, it's actually amendment number one. It's to this item. It's being offered by Supervisors DeBruin and Schmidt. Supervisor Schmidt is in the audience. I did email to everyone on Friday afternoon. I appreciate those who had questions who got back to me and let me know that they'd gotten it. I'm going to, I think, operate under the assumption that you've all had it and read it, so I'll just briefly go through it. As most everyone who's listening knows, as part of this plan or as part of this agreement, the habitat restoration plan was developed by the UWM Foundation and members of the community, as well environmentalists from the community, multiple different environmental organizations, as well as scientists and other individuals from the university with expertise in this area. They developed a habitat restoration plan. As this has moved forward, one of the questions we members of this committee at least started to get from some of the members of the public and the environmental community who have been real active in working with the university, they brought up just in the last few days, which is why there's a last-minute amendment, a concern as to how we're going to transition the adopted plan, the restoration plan, into an actual implementation and management plan, when that would occur, what would be the timeline, what would be the budget, who's responsible for the different components, et cetera. And there's really nothing in the original agreement that puts in either public notification of what that implementation plan is going to be or connects it to any time frame. So this amendment was worked out with Supervisor Schmidt, myself, County Board staff Glenn Boltman, Julie Ash, and then administration staff Mr. Dillman, that tied the submitting of an implementation or management plan, which we call it, to the timing of when the university or when the foundation would be submitting their final site development plans for that particular area to the city of Wauwatosa. That's obviously they're hoping that sooner rather than later. The timing of those two was actually recommended by county staff because they felt that to finalize or to do an implementation of the habitat restoration plan without knowing what the actual site development is going to be. Are you going to have a 10-story building or a 2-story building? And how wide is the footprint, et cetera, and where are they exactly placed? If you don't tie those two together, both plans could suffer because of that. And so staff looked at this and said, well, if there's going to be a way to actually tie that implementation, a deadline for that, and it makes sense to do it together. So you'll see that the amendment ties the management plan for the habitat restoration implementation to the time in which they would be submitting their final plans for the site development to the city of Wauwatosa. The timeline of all this is sooner rather than later because as the representatives of the foundation and the university have already explained, they've already gone out for RFPs, they've gotten 11 in, and believe they're going to be deciding very soon, and obviously this is one of the key pieces that they want to work on. This amendment Mr. Dillman did get this to the foundation. They are supportive of it, unless they tell me differently this morning, according to Mr. Dillman and them. The only other thing that's come up, which I'm not making any motions on today, and I just want to let the university that know that I'll be calling them in the next couple of days, is there was a further up request about can you have a specific date involved, whether it's spring 2011 to actually begin implementing it. That we'll talk to them. I'm not in favor of making amendments on an agreement without talking to both parties and trying to work it all out together, so that might be coming later if there's mutual agreement. But I do want to note that in the actual amendment, the finalization of that implementation or management plan is a combined product with the Friends of the Monarch Trail. So once again, the foundation and the university is committed to and does commit to working with some of the key environmentalists to even devise what that implementation plan would be, including the timelines and the responsibilities. So I will make a motion to approve amendment number one, Mr. Chairman, with that preamble.
Very good. Is there any comment?
We're fine with the language in that amendment, and I can also assure you that we'll probably start at least making a call and having some discussions, if not February, certainly by March. So we'll try to accelerate that process as well. But we're fine with the language of the amendment.
Do you have any reaction to the issue of the language is that you'll develop the management plan by that date? Do you have any reaction to the request that it would be an implementation set within some timeline of when you've got your approval on the Ashwiler building?
It's hard to pick a hard date on the implementation. All I can say is that the language you've got is fine. We'll start working on trying to come up with an agreed-upon implementation and agreed-upon budget with them really in the next 30 to 60 days. So I don't think you're getting any calls from anybody saying they haven't started talking to us. We're going to start moving this as fast as we can once we own the property. We recognize it's a critical part of the whole package. So we bought into
it. Supervisor Burns.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And just to help clarify, I'll talk to you folks a little bit more and Supervisor Schmidt as well about some of the additional concerns about whether to insert a timeline date. Bottom line, the staff recommends Supervisor Schmidt and I support very strongly the tying of any implementation start date with knowing what the site development plans are. And it is anticipated to be this spring or as soon as possible. But I think that if we have just a few more days to try and figure out if any additional language reassure everybody further than great, but bottom line, I'm not going to propose it now because I don't think that's the way I want to. The Supervisor Schmidt and I want to have a chance to talk to the university some more.
Okay.
Okay. On Amendment 1.
On the amendment, DeBruin?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Washon?
Aye.
West?
Aye.
Thomas?
Aye.
Harris?
Aye.
Mr. Chairman?
Aye.
7-0 notes on the amendment.
Thank you. Interesting amendment
Were you
interested in moving the thing?
What are we about to do?
Their comments suggested that that wasn't.
Mr. Chairman?
It's Supervisor Johnson.
I move approval of amendment number 3. In consideration of this payment extension and recognition of a potential net present value reduction up to $342,616, and in order to incent the buyer to pay in a timely manner that most closely approximates the original timeline, the final payment shall include a catch-up payment equal to the actual change in net present value between the original payment schedule and actual schedule of all payments received. The calculation shall be made using the same formula, 2% rate, as the fiscal note calculations for this resolution. That's the amendment. Move approval, Mr. Chairman.
I'm going to pass the gavel, even though I didn't make the motion. I'd like to speak on it.
No,
they don't have that.
Staff are making copies of the amendment as we speak. Obviously, some of this discussion may be more appropriate for closed session, and if the university or the individual of the committee wish to do that, we'll entertain a motion for that as well. Supervisor Rhodes?
While I can, in open session, just describe the intent of it. I think Mr. Black's comments earlier illustrate exactly the intent of this, which is in saying that the original agreement and the payment schedule was a contemplation that the purchase price and the timeline of those payments was arrived at in jointly in terms of determining the price, that the price and when receipt of those revenues would be received was all sort of one formula, one calculation. What this amendment does, it says that to the extent that payments are delayed and there's a net present value loss in those revenues, there is a cost that the county is in effect getting less value than full market value for that. The amount that is cited is from the fiscal note, and it was calculated based on if all of the payments were received at the maximum delay, the maximum two-year delay, that the net present value was a reduction of $242,616 to the county. The value of what we received is reduced. It's a basic time value of money calculation. What this does is says that the final payment would essentially catch us up, would make us whole according to the original calculation. Now, to the extent that the university would pay on an accelerated basis, as they have said they intend to do, that amount will be reduced because there will not be the delay. If we were to ever reach a point at which we fully caught up with our original schedule, there would be no additional payment. It is not intended as a penalty. It is intended strictly to keep us on the even point at which we had originally agreed, and to not put us in a position of looking like we start rolling over and giving some sweetheart deal. We've made a market, as close to market as we can, decision. Obviously, we're underwriting a financing which we're saying that the market couldn't or wouldn't be willing to underwrite. We should at least act like a business to the extent that we not simply give away $342,000 of value. That's the point. That's the intent of the amendment.
There's a sheet that's been passed out that actually has two different amendments on it. I want to make it clear that what's listed on the sheet that says amendment number 2, which deals with the accelerator building, that is not being moved for approval. That is a separate amendment that I understand is not is being withdrawn. The amendment that is being offered at this point is all in bold. It's titled amendment number 3, begins at line 208. Questions or concerns from committee members, and then the part of this that you wish to discuss in open session, we'll deal with now, and if you wish to go into closed session for this or the rest of the agreement, we can do that as well, and we can also do it at the request of the foundation as well.
I just want to
Supervisor here.
Thank you. I just wanted to put on record that I'm glad that this was explained a little more, because initially I wasn't clear as to how this was going to work, and I wasn't going to support it, but now I can support it, being that it's explained, and it makes us whole. So I appreciate you explaining it for me. So thanks.
Are there any comments you wish to make in open session?
Well, open or closed. I mean, the problem I have is I understand the concept. It would have been easier to, and I mean, I don't have my board here, and this is not an immaterial number. And so it's hard for us to make any kind of commitment without really at least canvassing the other members of the board, because this was not something that was on anybody's radar screen. But I do understand how it works, and I understand the methodology behind it. I just don't know how to get from A to B today, because I think it's something that I really would be uncomfortable making any kind of commitment to one way or the other without getting some guidance from some other board members. I don't know what else I can say.
Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Given Mr. Block's comments, would it be possible just to withdraw this and possibly consider it on board date to give him the opportunity to canvass his board and get some feedback?
It's certainly possible. You could make a motion to, or you could either ask the sponsor to withdraw it, or
it's possible.
Well, you're the sponsor. You make the motion.
Or you could put it on the finance committee maybe on Thursday.
I wish you would vote on it today.
I didn't hear Mr. Blunt.
There's also the finance committee.
You maybe you could also stick it on the finance committee on Thursday.
I have no idea.
So it at least gets to the committee before it goes to the board.
Sponsor of this is.
Well, Supervisor Lipscomb is the actual sponsor. I move approval of it so that it can be put forward. It's Supervisor Lipscomb's amendment. Well, then what I would do is I will withdraw it for today, and it will be introduced at least Thursday, if not on board day.
I'm willing to move it since I'm not in the chair any longer. That's the terms under which I can support the deal. I think making us whole. I don't think it's an extraordinary burden. It's back-ended. It essentially says that we make all the accommodations reasonably necessary to UWM to keep the deal alive and to proceed, but that we should simply have some recognition of the fact that we are incurring significant, I think we're incurring more significant than the amount there, but we are incurring some significant difficulties as a result of the series of modifications that we've entered into here. So I will move it today. For me, it's the key.
No, we understand. I fully understand where you're coming from on that.
I appreciate it. I recognize that you can't have if your board hasn't met on it and discussed it, you can't sort of formally take a position. You can only suggest that it's a significant issue. But obviously, to the extent we can get that feedback before finance or before board day, that may affect others. But for me, it's a key. So I will offer that amendment.
Other questions or comments?
Or
Supervisor Weishaupt?
I would think just moving forward for those who do have concerns, just to flip this around, that if we put this in and then now, and then if something arises before board day, then you can delete it on board day. I would rather have it in there today rather than try and insert something on board day. So if we move forward now, you can always remove it in the future, and I think that would be more prudent than not having it in there at all.
Any other comments? Then I'd like to ask the administration, either Mr. Dillman or Mr. Booker, Mr. Booker's still here, Mr. Dillman's still here. They're the other leg to this, representative of the administration. I'm not sure if you knew of this ahead of time, but do you have any reaction to it? Is it something you think the administration is willing to look at, or where are you folks given what's before you? Do you have a copy?
Yes, sir. Well, this is the first I've seen this. We are definitely going to go back after this meeting and put our heads together and see what we can work out by Finance Committee. And hopefully we can come back to you with an approach on this. So if you move it forward to Finance, we will address it and bring it forward on that day.
Thank you. Supervisor
Johnson. Madam Chair, today I will not vote for the amendment, only so that the UWM Real Estate Board can have an opportunity to consider it.
Any other questions or comments by committee members? Please call the roll on the amendment number 3.
Lipska?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Wyshon?
Aye.
West?
No.
Thomas?
No.
Harris?
Aye.
Madam Chair?
No.
3 ayes, 4 noes.
Okay, now we're on the item as amended with amendment number 1 that's before us. Any other comments or questions by committee members? Supervisor Johnson.
Madam Chair, I move approval of the resolution as amended.
We have motion to approve as amended. Any other comments? Please call the roll.
Lipska?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Wyshon?
No.
West?
Aye.
Thomas?
Aye.
Harris?
No.
Madam Chair?
Aye.
4 ayes, 3 noes. This item is approved as amended.
Thank you. Would you like to say?
Sure.